Well, I thought I'd take a break from Daniel for a couple of weeks since it's Christmas time, because I love Christmas, and I love the whole season. And as much as I dislike the, you know, the commercialism and the secularization that seems to have happened to it, when they start decorating the stores and playing Christmas carols or Christmas songs on the radios, and I get excited anyway, and I listen to Christmas music all during the year, so it doesn't matter if it's July or what. You'll hear Christmas music come out of my audio stuff, and I admit it's not just the Christian songs and carols. I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and Buddy the Elf and all those other things too. I like the music, I like the candy, I like the food. I definitely like the food of Christmas time. I wait all year long for eggnog. And I know some people probably think that's gross. Jenna hates eggnog, but I love eggnog. And pumpkin pie, when Thanksgiving rolls around, and I know that I'm going to get one of Jenna's pies, and I get to have the whole thing because she doesn't like pumpkin, I look forward to that. So you sit me down with a tub of whipped cream, and like the tub, not just the little thing, but because I put whipped cream all over that pumpkin pie and sit there and a glass of eggnog, which is both just totally unhealthy but tastes so good. And I can't say I'm in heaven because I know heaven is going to be way better, but I'm at the pearly gates. It's just, I love the food of Christmas time. I like the caroling. I like the decorations and the lights and the we live next to Times Square in December. There's just, our street is just lights. When we come home from church at night and you turn down our street, it's like you're turning onto the Las Vegas Strip. And it's kind of fun. Our next door neighbor, well, one neighbor has no lights, but the other one is the worst of all the lights in the neighborhood. And because they've got, their house is covered like the Griswolds. And it's not just the house. There's lights that come down into the yard from the house and then connect to all those blow-up characters and various, there's penguins that look like eggs and trees and all sorts of crazy stuff. So but it reminds me of Christmas. So even though it's ridiculous, I still enjoy it. And of course, I like the presents, especially the ones that I was hoping for. You know, we all get stuff that we weren't really wanting. I hate ties, but I guess it goes with the territory. So. I mean, there are things that you need and can't afford, like clothes, but I don't like getting, Jenna loves getting clothes for Christmas, but I think getting clothes for Christmas is kind of like getting toilet paper. I mean, you need it, and if you can't afford it, you're glad if somebody gives it to you. It's definitely something that you want to have, but for Christmas, you want to get the toys, the electronic gadgets and the Blu-rays and the DVDs and the, you know, all the things that you don't really need. That's the kind of stuff that I like to get at Christmas. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. If somebody was thinking of me, that's what makes it worth it. I mean, if somebody thinks of you in particular, no matter what it is, it just makes you glad they were thinking of you, doesn't it? I mean, I always get clothes from John and Sharon. But I know when they're out shopping, they're thinking of me. Or maybe they're thinking of you guys because they want me to look good when I'm up here. But it's nice to know that somebody has you in mind. And when I know somebody's been thinking about me and wanting to do something for me in particular, doesn't matter how much it costs. It's the fact that I was the center of somebody's thoughts for a little bit. And I'm sure you feel the same way, that when somebody writes you a note or gives you a gift or calls you up and says they're thinking about you or praying for you, that makes you feel loved. And that's something that I love about Christmas time, because that seems to happen a little bit more often. And it makes you feel good that somebody has you in the center of their thoughts for a little while. Of course, Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. That's not to be confused. It's not better to get gifts than receipts. That's fun, but Jesus said it's better to give than receive. And he should know, because he's given more than any of us. He's probably given more than all of us combined. And you know he's right. I'm such a budgeter, and I pinch pennies all year long, and we buy generic brands and I look online to see where I can get gas 5 cents cheaper, and we drive used cars, and I wear the same clothes for years and years and years, which bothers Jenna sometimes. But when Christmas time comes and I've saved all my pennies, I love to spend it on Jenna. And it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to buy presents for my wife and make her smile when she opens them up. And I look forward to that. And it really is always better to see that than anything that I get. So Jesus was right, even in the regular, normal gift giving. So I like all the things that we're used to seeing and hearing on Christmas, the decorations, the lights, the songs, the food. But I also know that it has that Christmas in my heart has absolutely nothing to do with any of those things. That I know in my heart that you could strip all that stuff away, get rid of it all, and have no traditions, no music, no food, none of that stuff, and still be filled with the joy of Christmas. And I know that in my heart. I hope you know that too. Like when the Grinch stole Christmas and the Who's and Whoville all still got together and they sang their song, except it's not a song that makes Christmas Christmas. It's a little tiny baby who was laid in a feeding trough in a room that probably smelled like sheep poop. And the creator of the universe, who lowered himself down to that position to become a human being, the King of Kings, becoming the weakest and most helpless thing that we know on earth, and growing up in meekness and in humility and teaching us what life is really about. That's what Christmas is. And you get rid of all the other stuff, and hopefully that can amaze you. Jesus taught us what life is. It's not the pomp and the circumstance and the ceremony. It's not the money and the power that can be had. It's not popularity. It's not worldly pleasures. What Jesus showed us is it's not what you can get that makes life worth living. It's what you can give. And Jesus came to give us life. I mean, he was all about giving. He said, I came to give life and to give it to the full, to let us know what it's like to live life where it's most worth it, where we get the most blessings. And Jesus came to give us that. And in everything he taught, we find that his way of life in humility, in servanthood, in sacrifice is what brings the most reward, in spite of what the world teaches and an opposite message that we hear from the world, that Jesus' message that turns the world upside down, that the joy set before us, the peace that passes understanding, the contentment in all circumstances, the fulfillment of knowing God, those kinds of things, all of that comes not from riches or from glory, but from emptying ourselves and being filled by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that you can buy that will make your life better. There's nothing that you can own that will make your life worth living. It's when you empty yourself and you find that Jesus Christ fills you up that makes life really fulfilling. And that message is lost at Christmas time. Especially, it seems the older I get, the more the world seems to get away from that message. And so I thought it'd be good to kind of head back that direction as Christmas is coming in just a little short while, and that to talk about how giving is better than receiving, not just because we want to wind up poor and persecuted and alone, but because everything that we can give on earth, everything that we have that we're able to share, becomes an investment in eternity. And it's not even that we want to work so to save lives now so that when we get to heaven we can sit around and be lazy and not do anything. That's not the goal, so that we can get to a retirement in heaven, because there's even more to do in heaven. Remember, Jesus said when he gave that parable, he said when the master entrusted people here on earth with a little bit, it's so that he could find out if he could trust them with that much more in heaven. There's more to do in heaven. I don't know what it entails, but it's going to be amazing. And so we work here to give and to build our character in giving so that when we get to heaven, we can give even more. Jesus Christ is all about giving. And it's like when I scrimp and save pennies all year long, the point is of sacrificing, of giving up some things that I could have for myself is so that I can give to somebody else when Christmas time comes. And I like it. I enjoy it. It's what makes it good to sacrifice so that you can share even more later on. And I didn't even spend savings on myself. I spent it on somebody else. So it's like you never stop giving. And God keeps filling you up so you can give more. And the more you give, the more he fills you up. And it's this great, we talk about getting in downward spirals of negative activity and bad behavior. But getting involved in Christ is an upward spiral. It's the more you give, the more he fills you up. The more you empty yourself, the more you're built up by God. And the more you realize what Christmas is really all about. And so, heaven is not about mansions. It's not about golden streets. It's about righteous, joyful friendship. And it's a friendship that is better than anything you could know on earth. We talk about, or I was just talking about, how good it feels when you know somebody's thinking about you, when somebody's taking time out of their day to pray, to buy you a gift, to write you a note. Imagine living with somebody who thinks about you all the time, who never stops thinking about you, who you are their primary thought 24/7, and that all they do is think about you and care about you and want to give you more and want to take care of you and want to offer you the best of what they have. That's Jesus Christ. He's all about giving, and he wants you to have a relationship with that, with him, forever and ever and ever. Jesus gave his life to save us, so that our hearts could be filled. He gives us, he fills our hearts so that we can give to others and that they could be filled by his same love. And that's why Christmas is supposed to feel good. It's not the presents, it's not the candy, it's not the food. He wants us to spend forever and ever. And what could be better than living with somebody who does nothing but think of you and want the best for you and want your life to be improved? So with the big holiday right around the corner, I thought I'd share a few tips, ideas on how to ruin Christmas. Not that hopefully you're not actually looking for ways to wreck the holidays, but I thought if I gave you the information, perhaps you could inoculate yourself against ruining Christmas knowing these things. And of course, there are obvious things that hopefully you already know that will steal the spirit of Christmas, such as selfishness. Selfishness is a good way to destroy what Christmas is all about. Apathy, not caring and just thinking nothing's ever going to work out. That is a good way to ruin Christmas. And focusing on the world instead of Jesus. Those are kind of some basic things that hopefully you already know about. But, when we talk about Christmas and the spirit of Christmas, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not just a feeling. It's a true, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit. That's what Christmas is supposed to be all about. So number one, you want a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, then you're definitely going to miss out on what Christmas is about. So that's where you get straight, and you take your mind off of yourself, and you get rid of selfishness, and you get rid of apathy, and you turn towards Jesus, and you focus on him, and that's where you start. And with that in mind, hopefully Christmas becomes the most wonderful time of the year because you know what Jesus Christ did for you. That's most important, right? But Christmas is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, so it's supposed to be full of wonder. And if you think about it, God came to earth. That's why we celebrate. God came to earth. The creator of the universe came to earth to visit us. And that's what Christmas is about. The almighty creator of heaven made himself a human like you and me and came to live his whole life with us. And that's amazing. I mean, I don't know how often you've sat and wondered about that, but that's wonderful. That's something that ought to take some contemplation, some thinking, some meditation. The Lord of hosts was born in a stable, and that's wonderful. That is full of wonder. His name is wonderful. They call him Wonderful Counselor. And Mark, when Jesus had gone through the Transfiguration, and he's walking back with his disciples and with the three, and they see his other disciples talking, and there's this crowd of people, and they see Jesus, and it says, when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. And that's how we're supposed to feel at Christmas. I mean, hopefully you feel that all your whole life, but that's the spirit of Christmas. The NIV says they were overwhelmed with wonder. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that at Christmas time? That's what Christmas is supposed to be about. Overwhelming with wonder that the Lord of heaven became a little baby to come and live with us so that our lives could be saved. So hopefully your desire is to enjoy Christmas and to get the most out of it, to have a good time and to be filled with the Spirit and full of wonder because of the amazing life of Jesus Christ. Hopefully that's your basic goal for Christmas time. And if so, there are a couple things that I made a list. I got three things that might keep in mind as we experience this sometimes stressful time of the year. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but sometimes it can get a little hectic, get a little out of hand and stressful. So here's a few things to keep in mind. Fatigue can wipe out wonder. And if you're too rushed to have some time to sit still and ponder the meaning of Christmas, that can ruin Christmas. Fatigue can overwhelm the sense of marvel that we ought to have at Christmas time, that Jesus Christ was born a little baby in a manger. We tend to be a culture that's always in a hurry, nonstop. We have fast everything. We have fast food and fast TV and short attention spans, and the Christmas season seems to double our normal pace. I remember watching videos. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the old black and white clips that they've shown about new gadgets that were being invented in the 50s, the 40s and the 50s, saying these gadgets are going to save us so much time. In fact, people, scientists were sitting around thinking, what are we going to do? We've invented all these gadgets to save time. What are people going to do? They're going to be bored to death. They're not going to have anything to do because all these gadgets are going to help make life more convenient and easy and take care of all these things automatically, and people are just going to sit around with absolutely nothing to do. And since the 40s and the 50s, think of all the gadgets that we've created for convenience and speed, and it doesn't slow us down. It doesn't make life more boring. It speeds it up. It's like we add more and more tasks to our day, and we're multitasking, and we're doing five things at once. And when the holidays come, and we add to that the trips and the seeing family and the buying gifts and the going to parties and all the different things that we add, we our pace gets faster and faster. And there was I read something, I don't know who this is, but a woman said, it's not even Thanksgiving and I'm already feeling Christmas fatigue. I see the lights and the decorations in the store windows and I think, oh no, not again. Isn't it possible just to skip it all? And that's, people really do start to get that stress and feeling overwhelmed and sadness, and that's not what Christmas is supposed to be about. Psalm 46 at verse 7 says, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then it says in verse 10, be still and know that he is God, that I am God, it says. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. God among us. That's the Christmas message. Be still and know that he is God. That's the Christmas message. And it's not shopping, it's not parties, it's not all those extra traditions and things that we get involved in. So don't let fatigue and being overly stressed out and overly worked wipe out the wonder of Christmas. Pause. Be still. Slow down. Purposely make time during your day to quiet your life and still your heart. And you know, find some mark your calendar. Find a couple days where you can at least spend the evening doing nothing and sit and open your Bible or pray or just relax with your family and, you know, make an appointment to not entertain friends or family. Don't schedule activities. Make opportunities to connect with the source of Christmas and just have quiet alone time with the Lord. Have time set aside just for you and Jesus, because that's what Christmas is about. Is Jesus came to be with us, to find, to seek out and save the lost. So be sure and connect with Jesus. Sit down and read Luke chapter 2 and sing Christmas carols just to God. You don't have to get together, get together with us on Wednesday. But when you're alone, sing to the Lord. I know it's a crazy idea in our world where we're fast-paced, where we got to have media going all the time, where we don't stop because we don't have time to stop. Jesus modeled what we should do for us. How many times did he try to sneak off and be by himself so that he could just pray and be refilled and refreshed for all the important things that he had to do? Jesus had more important things to do than we do, I'm pretty sure. But he still took time to go off and to connect with the Father and to be in communion and just be still and be quiet and be alone and refresh so that he could do the important things with the right kind of focus. So do that this Christmas. There are plenty of things that need to get done. There's a lot of things that we still do for taking care of families and all the work that needs to get done during the normal part of the year anyway. But there are times when you need to take a break from being like Martha and you just need to be like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say. And if you're hurried and in a rush, you're going to miss that. And if you need to find ways to make things easier, to streamline the holidays, then do it. It's, you know, when people are out, it's nice to find perfect gifts when you're shopping. For everybody on your list, you want to find just the right thing. But if it's easier just to give cash, people still like that, or a gift card, or along with a personal note of, you know, don't just give money without personal note. You know, you want to write down why you gave this and what you're thinking about. And if doing so will keep you from actually literally shopping till you drop, then do it. You know, don't put all your focus in the gifts of Christmas. If you can't afford a gift without going into debt, don't buy it. You know, take a break from your wallet and just sit back. You don't have to buy gifts to make it Christmas. Christmas will happen and if you don't give a thing. So if you can't afford it, write a note, write a card, that kind of thing. Be thoughtful. And, you know, you can't wonder. You can't be in wonder when you're weary, when you're worn out, when you don't have any money, when you're broken. It's hard to get excited when you're exhausted. So take a break, relax, quiet down, and this season try our Lord's advice. This is in Mark chapter 6 at verse 30. The apostles said, Jesus sent the apostles out to do some ministry, and they came back, returned from their ministry tour, and they told Jesus all they had done and taught. And Jesus said, now let's go off to be by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. So yeah, we work hard. We take care of regular business. We go to work. We take care of our families. We take care of the ministry. But Jesus said, you still need to take a break and be quiet. Let's go off and be alone. So that's one thing, fatigue. Another thing is doubt. Doubt can stifle the spirit of Christmas. Doubt and disbelief, they're one of those things that kind of subtly work in your life and they dissolve away the Christmas spirit. One of the reasons the world has turned Christmas into a harried holiday rather than a hushed holy day is because of the skeptical sort of secularism of our time. Santa has become the center of Christmas for our world. And Jesus has become little more than a decoration. You know, he's the little plastic Jesus in the fake manger. When you quiet down and take in the wonder of Christmas and you take the time to focus back on what it's really about, remember, Jesus is not a part of Christmas. He's not a part of the holidays to be mixed in with the lights and the presents and the food and the family. And then Jesus is Christmas. He's not a part of Christmas. And so you could throw the rest away, all of it, seriously, all of it you could get rid of. Pray for God this Christmas to help you get your priorities straight, to remember where you need to be focusing, where you need to put your energy, where you need to put your time and your money and your resources. And you know what? If God leads you to change the way you do things, then do it. Remember who it is you're talking to. If God says, hey, you need to get rid of this, you need to change this, then just say yes and change it. Get rid of it. Don't do it if God leads you to change. Christmas has become a secular holiday rather than a holy celebration for believers. And in fact, our culture has turned Christmas into just part of the holidays. Like there's this weird amalgamous mix of various holidays that are supposed to be the season. So it's not even Christmas. I mean, Jesus has become a part of all the other stuff that goes on Christmas, and Christmas has become a part of all the other stuff that goes on in the holidays, so there's nothing special about it anymore. You know, when people say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas, it's their way of saying Christmas is really not that important. And because of that, people slide into emptiness during this time of year. That's what happens. When you push Jesus out of your life, when you make Jesus a smaller and smaller part of your life becomes more mixed up, more stressful, more sad, more alone, and that's just a natural consequence of taking the right priorities out of whack. And so people get depressed, people feel alone, people feel sad, people feel stressed out and worn out, and they want to skip Christmas and not deal with it because their focus is on the things of the world and not on what Christmas is about. They look for fulfillment in traditions, and no tradition will ever bring you fulfillment. The only fulfillment in life can only come from Christ, who came to set us free, and that's what Christmas is about. We have amazing toys these days, and I love the gadgets and the gizmos and the electronic stuff, and every year they get better. They get bigger screens and more power and faster and more features, I think. You know, and people think that those cool new toys will make us happy. That somehow if I get the latest gizmo or gadget or movie or clothing or whatever, that thing will make me happy. That when I have that thing that I've been dreaming about, when I looked through the catalog and I looked online and I saw that and I thought, I got to have that, that's what will make me happy this season. And then we rip through the paper and the ribbons and the bows and we spend a few minutes tearing everything open and we discover that none of those amazing toys or gadgets or gizmos or whatever, none of those fill our hearts. I mean, they're fun for a little while. We play with them, but eventually we realize that our life hasn't changed unless it got busier because we spend more time taking care of all that stuff. But it hasn't filled our hearts. And so even though the toys are fun to play with, eventually the wonder ceases and the boredom sets in and the emptiness begins to seep in where joy ought to reside. And people get lonely, and they get sad, and they get depressed, and they get angry because they put their hopes in stuff rather than Jesus Christ. And so the doubt, that's the doubt that I'm talking about, that takes the attention away from where it's supposed to be, where we start trusting in the world's things rather than in the Lord. And it prevents us from being willing to do what it takes to get rid of everything that takes our attention off of Jesus, to be willing to throw everything away that takes our focus off of where it belongs for Christmas and following the Lord. Don't let that happen. Trust in Jesus. Read his word. Spend the time to focus and to be in wonder. So that's fatigue and doubt. And one more I'll talk about is pride. Pride can weaken the reason for the season and dwindle it away. Self-centered pride can dilute our feelings of awe that we're supposed to have over what Christmas is about and our great Savior. And Christmas has become such a celebration of materialism and selfishness for so many people. We've taken Christ out of Christmas and replaced him with ourself. And we're what Christmas is about, what I want for Christmas and what I want to do for Christmas and the nice things that I do for others and what a great person I am. And then we've taken Jesus out of Christmas and we put ourselves on that throne. But only being Christ-centered, that's the only thing that can help you have the right focus on Christmas and help you be filled with wonder and filled with the Christmas spirit. Don't think of what you'll get out of Christmas this year, but think of what you can put into Christmas this year. That Jesus said it's better to give than receive. Well, what can you give this Christmas? Not just toys and gadgets and presents, but what can you give of yourself to help other people? What can you give of yourself to lead others to Christ? Think of others and think of Jesus. Share his love. You know, when the shepherds got the message from the angels, and they came and they said, the Messiah is born, and you just go into town and you'll see him. He's a little baby, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they went there quick, and they found the manger, and they were filled with wonder and hope, and they were so excited. They went around town and they told everybody they ran into, we saw Jesus, we saw the Messiah. You got to come see him. And Luke chapter 2:18 says, and all who heard it, so everybody they talked to, it says they wondered, they were astonished at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So they were filled with wonder and amazement and astonishment that this little baby is the Messiah. And it went through the town. And that's what Christmas is supposed to be about. Not all the traditions, but us sharing that message. Like John talked to, who have you told Christmas about Christmas to? Who have you shared that message with? That's what Christmas is about. And that same news that the shepherds got, it's still wonderful. It's still filled with wonder. It ought to be in your heart. So when everybody was astonished at the arrival of the baby Jesus, and the whole town was amazed, and the shepherds were amazed, and everybody they told were amazed, are you amazed? Do you feel that wonder? Do you feel that astonishment and excitement? Is that what fills your heart, or is it just the stuff of the world? Because the stuff of the world dwindles away on December 26th, it's all gone. So are you filled with the wonder of Jesus Christ, who is still alive today? Have the kinds of things we've been talking about, the fatigue and the pride, and has that stuff ruined Christmas for you? If it has, if you know what I'm talking about, and you've been feeling the stress and the sadness and the despair and getting worn out, if you've got that, I've got a way to fix Christmas, and I want to use a Christmas carol to tell you. I'm not going to sing for you, but I'm talking about the book, The Christmas Carol. So this is just a few lines from it. This is Scrooge. Spirit, said Scrooge in a broken voice, remove me from this place. I told you, and this is the ghost saying, I told you these were the shadows of the things that have been, said the ghost, that they are what they are. Do not blame me. Remove me, Scrooge exclaimed. I cannot bear it. And he turned, and seeing that it looked upon him with a face in which in some strange way there were fragments of all the faces that had shown to him, wrestled with it. Leave me, take me back, haunt me no longer. And so in the story, in Dickens' book, that happens when Scrooge has been taken back in time and shown his past Christmases. And he's seen what his life was like as a young boy, and it's too much for him. He's back and he can't bear the sorrow and the loneliness and the pain and the heartache that the ghost of Christmas past has reintroduced him to and reminded him of. And as a selfish old miser living alone in his old age, he'd almost succeeded in forgetting that past life and forgetting what had happened in the past. And until this Christmas Eve, and the ghost of Christmas past came and reopened all those wounds and said, no, this is what your life has come from, and this is why you are the way you are. And he remembered the loneliness and the bitterness of his youth and his years spent at a boarding school all by himself and left alone when his friends all went home to spend the holidays with their families, and he was left there by his parents, and he saw his old boss, Fezziwig, if you remember, and he was a clerk for Fezziwig, Scrooge was, and on Christmas Eve, Fezziwig would turn his shop into a party house and everybody would celebrate, and they'd feast, and he'd pass out gifts and good cheer, and all the employees had a great time, and so this is Scrooge never learned the lesson. He never did that for Bob Cratchit, but he remembered what Fezziwig did, and Fezziwig's employees heaped praises upon him, and they talked about what a great boss he was and how wonderful he was to work for, and Scrooge was amazed at Fezziwig's ability to get so many people filled with wonder and happy and heaping praises. And for some reason, he couldn't figure out how Fezziwig was able to do that. And then the next scene that the ghost takes him to is the tears of a broken heart in a girl that he once loved, and a young lady over whom he chose a career and a solitary pursuit of money instead of love. And then he saw that lovely girl grown up and happily married to another man, and a loving husband, and a household of happy children, and they were all celebrating Christmas in their home. And he realized that if it wasn't for his selfish choice years before, when he had an opportunity to woo that girl who showed so much interest in him, he could have been the head of that happy home. And instead he was alone and lonely. And the last scene was more that than Scrooge could stand, and he was overwhelmed, and he cried out to his spirit guide, "Remove me from this place. Take me away. Remove me. I cannot bear it." And the thing that Scrooge couldn't bear, I think, is kind of interesting. It's the same thing that you and I can't bear apart from the grace of God. It's the reality of our own sin, the reality of our failures, of the places where we made the wrong choice, and we know we should have done different, but we didn't. And Scrooge was a man who knew no grace. He didn't know love. He didn't know generosity. He didn't know service to other people. He chose not to do those things. And so he never had the blessings that come with those things. And so his entire life revolved around his own greed and his own pride and his own self-pity and his own withdrawal into himself in an attempt to forget the past and forget that it was his choices that brought him to where he was. And Scrooge is what we all are apart from Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we all wind up like Scrooge. And we all know that story has a happy ending. We've all seen that. We watched the movie last movie night. Scrooge repents of his self-centeredness, and he's a reformed man, and he starts doing good works, and all that is good. But in real life, no amount of good works cancels out the guilt. No amount of good works cleans up our past and can erase the guilt and the stain of failure of our history. And for that, you need something supernatural. And Isaiah, our scripture for today, Isaiah, I'll read verse 18, says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And for that, you need Jesus. For that, God in the flesh, born as a baby, laid in a manger, come to live among us to seek and to save the lost. He came looking for us to pull us out of our past, of our red, crimson stained life, and to clean us up and to make us white and to make us pure and to make us holy and to give us fulfillment and to give us a reason and a purpose. All the things that Scrooge had at that happy ending, to give us that excitement and that joy and that exuberance and that generosity and that wonder-filled life. Will you open that present, that Christmas present from Jesus? You don't even have to wait for Christmas. You can open it now. You can open it any day if you will repent and put your trust in the source of Christmas, in the reason for the season. You'll have a guide like Scrooge did to show you the way into it, except it won't be some creepy ghost. It will be the Holy Spirit living inside of you, ministering to you personally, telling you how much you are thought of and cared about, guiding, directing you in what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to live. The Holy Spirit, John 16:8, says when He, the Spirit, has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So yeah, He'll shake you up like those ghosts did. But the goal is to set you straight, to get you walking right, and to show you how much blessing and love and joy there is in life. If you're a Christian, you can think back to what your life was like BC, before Christ, in your own life, and think about what it took to lead you into salvation. What happened to get you going in the right direction? Only you and God know the sadness and the shame and the worry and the embarrassment of the sins that you committed that led you down the path of destruction. But even if you became a Christian as a child, you can probably remember what your past was like before that and the things that you'd done wrong. And it's the Spirit of God who brings all that to mind and who leads you into the right path and shows you the hope and says and reveals that eternity that's written in your hearts, reveals the blessing that you can have for that eternity. And that's what Christmas is about. To say, you know what, this is your old life and it's a ruinous wreck and you're a wretch and you're destroyed. But guess what? We can make all things new. And Jesus can do that for you. And if you'll trust in Him, He can do that for you. That's what Christmas is about. So think of all the Christmas stories that you've heard. Which one do you want to be a part of? What do you think holds the most promise? When you're brought face to face with your failures and your sin and the doubt and the worry and the fatigue and the stress and the sadness and the depression and the anger, when you're face to face with that, what story do you want to be most involved in? You know, Scrooge chose to change his ways, and things seemed to be better. The Grinch himself carved the roast beast. Rudolph led Santa through the fog. Buddy the Elf found his father. George Bailey realized that his life mattered. And Clarence got his wings. And those are all fun stories, and they make us happy about the stories. But if you want a story that will change your life, and not just some fake character in a book or on a movie, if you want a story that will change your life, how about the one where God himself comes to earth, puts on flesh, and comes to seek you out and to save you and to save your soul and to fill you with his Spirit so that you could leave behind the ruined life and the empty past and the sadness and the doubt and the despair and live a life forever filled with the Spirit of God and know what it is to have joy and peace and fulfillment. Only the Holy Spirit of Christmas can lead a sinner to Christ. And he can fill your heart with wonder and restore your strength and teach you everlasting benefits of humble service and holy living and how much better it is to give than it is to receive. That's what Christmas is about. So don't let the fatigue and the doubt and the pride steal the wonder of Christmas out of your heart. Take time to marvel at the miracle of the manger and how wonderful it is and how amazing it is and how much it means to you and what it could mean to you if you haven't turned to Christ yet, and stand amazed in God's presence. And worship him. Worship him alone and nothing else. And that's what makes this the most wonderful time of the year. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you are Christmas. That you are what Christmas is all about. And when everything else comes back void, when everything else is emptiness and sorrow and vanity, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to turn towards you and remember you. And to not get lost in the things of the world, to not get lost in materialism and selfishness and greed and pride and doubt. Lord, help us to focus on you. We thank you so much that you make life worth living and that you can fill us and restore us and help our lives be good and full of joy for eternity. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.